Hello and welcome everyone to Heart to Heart. This is another day that the Lord our God has made, and He is doing mighty things in it. And I thank God for all the wonderful things He's doing. The Lord is, He put on my heart to do these broadcasts, and I thank God that He did. I'm learning things as I do it because this is something that that's necessary. All these teachings that the Lord has put on my heart is necessary. It helps us understand what He's doing. The Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder the spirit and the soul. Now, if the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, and it divides asunder the spirit and the soul of man, so do those who receive His Word in His heart and live the light. Whenever we're the light of the Word, the light of when we operate as the light of the world, we've been made to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. All right, our righteousness is of God, is of Jesus Christ. His blood washed away our sin, and as we put His Word in our heart, the Word does another cleansing process, along together with the blood. Jesus once said, "Now you're clean because of my Word." But then, he was referring to the time when he would die for him. But when he said that now you are clean, that before he died for him, they were cleansed because of the Word. So the Word of God has a cleansing effect. And they were washed in the blood. And then the Holy Spirit was inside them when they believed on Jesus Christ. That never happened before. The Holy Spirit resided in them when they believed on Jesus Christ, because He said, "Receive." He breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit," and they did. And they believed on Him, and they received the Holy Spirit on the inside. So that's a witness on the inside. When you take time to study the Word of God, it renews your mind, and the Holy Spirit enlightens you. It enlightens your heart, your spirit, and when you As you receive His Word, which is like a two-edged sword, then you become like a two-edged sword. And the things that you do makes a difference. You're designed by God to set a new standard. Now, a false standard has already been set. But now, when you follow God and live the life, you're setting a new standard. You're like a knife dividing what's right from what's wrong. Just like when God first said, "Let there be light," He divided the light from the darkness. He made a difference, a distinction, a notable difference. When you live the life of God, when you practice His Word in life, out in public, when you speak what's right, when you live scripturally, you're like a knife. You're like a sword. You're like a two-edged sword. And the darkness can't comprehend the light. The light exposes everything. It destroys all hiding places. Now, Satan doesn't like that. And people who would not make a choice to surrender their heart to God, they're persuaded by this world. They know this world. But when there's more light, many will come to the light because they now know that there's more to life than what they knew. Everybody that loves the pleasures of this world, the lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, pride of life, if they don't kill their love for the world, they will become the enemy of God. And they'll do the same works that Saul did. King Saul, not Apostle Paul, but King Saul. And no matter how you add it up over time, they will fight for their pride. And their whole logic will become pride-based to the point that they don't see the point in doing things out of love. And once you've known God and you've walked with Him and talked with Him and learned of Him, learned from the Holy Spirit, you don't want to go back to that nasty world. That's like a dog going back and eating his vomit. It turns our stomach sometimes to see something like that. But that's what's happening. When people go back, when they leave the holiness of God and go back to the low down ways of the world. And then they get involved with sin. And then they get trapped in it. And to renew them again, one scripture said it's impossible. Because they turn. Getting people out of that, you know, some people, they may fall and some people are in sin, they want out. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people who hide and they plan to go back to the ways of the world. They do it on purpose. When people warn them against it and try to get them to repent, they get angry. And then they start avoiding the presence of God. They start avoiding the things of God. And then they start trying to find people that will preach with they won't find people that will preach life the way that they want it preached. Not what God wants. They are stiff-necked. They won't change. They won't bend. God wants them. He loves them. He loves them just like he loves his own people. He cares about them. He don't want them to go to hell. But he can't let them in heaven on their terms either. And it's not even wise for him to do so. And he's not. So people have to, this is something that hadn't been taught right. Now Jesus taught it, but people read over it. He gave October of 2015 or 2016, the Lord had me dealing with the parable of the tares and the wheat on the radio broadcast. And you can go back and listen to him. I think it was 2016. But anyway, I learned a lot of facts as I did the broadcast and as I studied for it. Some things I learned as I was teaching it. Now, he had me to compare the Laodicean church with the actions of King Saul, the way Saul turned out. And thinking, you know, the spirit of Saul is still here. He died, but the persuasion that he began, the same spirit that was on his life was on the Pharisees. One scripture said, Jesus came to his own and his own received him not. Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. Now Nicodemus was a Pharisee. But he came to him by night. He didn't come to him publicly in the open in the daylight. He snuck and had a meeting with Jesus. And Jesus counseled him, taught him some things. Taught him about being born again. He got saved, I'm sure. Now, he felt like he had to sneak and find Jesus and talk to him because he knew that he was of God. Being a Pharisee, he could tell that God, that this man was different than the way that than the persuasion that they've been used to. Now, Saul was already king. He was sitting in the seat of Moses. And David, he got fired. David was anointed king and Saul tried to kill him. The Pharisees hated Jesus because he did the works of God. He lived his life as a two-edged sword. Now, as we live our lives as just loving God, obeying him, doing his word, taking him at his word, speaking his word, living the life, truly loving people, we give all the people that won't come to God on their own, we give them a chance to see the light for what it is. And they will drop the world and come walking. Or they'll drop the world and come running to the light. Some people will slowly come. They'll slowly believe and they'll slowly come. And they'll slowly understand, but they'll come. Some people will say, hey, this is what I wished, I wanted, I wished I could have known this a long time ago. But they were blinded by the camouflage of the Laodicean church. See, the Laodicean church, they say that they are God's people. They have a reputation for loving God, but their love went cold. Their fire went out. They started loving the world. And when people do that, they don't always leave their post. Preachers that backslide don't always stop preaching. Christians that backslide don't always stop going to church. They do the same works that the people of God will do. But their first love becomes the works of Satan. And they get jealous of others. If somebody seems to outshine them, they get mad. If somebody do something they can't do, they get mad. And in this country, it's against the law to kill them. They don't have the power to take a man's life without being prosecuted. So the other form of murder is the way that they feel in their heart and the way that they slander them. Slander is the new murder. And see, when they see people in the Laodicean church, they don't sit in the seat of Moses. The Pharisees did. They could make the laws. They could run the country. And everybody observed them, even Caesar. What they say had a lot of pull, even with the law. Even to the point that even Pilate didn't even want to kill Jesus. He said, I wash my hands of this. I turn him over to you. He tried to rescue Jesus by turning him over to the people. But see, the people who are taught by the Pharisees were no different. And sometimes even worse. You think the Pharisees wanted them dead. The public wanted them dead. They saw their cousins get healed. They saw their brothers get healed. They saw their people get healed. They heard about the teachings. And they got angry. And they were angry from the time Jesus first began doing it. They wanted to kill him before. But it wasn't his time. And one scripture said he just walked through the crowd. They didn't even know who he was anymore. Instead, he didn't even run. He just walked through the crowd and they lost him. They in the crowd and walked on where he wanted to go. And they tried to trick him. They tried to make him say things that were not true. And they couldn't do it and they gave up. The hatred, that's because of the hatred. Now, the Laodicean church may not have you arrested, killed, or anything like that. But the way that they talk about the people of God, the people that truly love them. See, there are preachers that really love God. And they really mean business. And their life is like a sword, a two-edged sword. But as they grow in the Lord, they become sharper and sharper. They walk in the light. They don't compromise. They don't even think about it. They operate by love only. And their wisdom grows. And their influence grows. And when people mean business, they're attracted to them. The Lord once taught me something. He said, sincerity attracts sincerity. You know, I was thinking about how Kenneth Hagin, how I used to love to listen to Kenneth Hagin. And then I thought about my pastor. He loves, he went and bought all of Kenneth Hagin's books. Then he went to Rhema. I thought I loved Kenneth Hagin. He bought all of his books and went to Rhema. Now, I made it my business every day to listen to him on the radio. And I was able to get some of his tapes and listen to him. I borrowed some of them. I didn't even buy them. I borrowed them. And eventually, I bought a few of my own. But I borrowed some tapes, listened to him, and learned some things, learned about authority. But I listened to him every day, every day. During the week, he would come on during the weekday, and I would listen to him at lunchtime every day, for years. And I was thinking about all that. And the Lord said, sincerity attracts sincerity. I was attracted to the sincerity of Kenneth Hagin. And Pastor McCann, somebody gave him the book, The Authority of the Believer, and he was attracted to Kenneth Hagin to the point that he bought all the books available and then went to school and finished. And God has really blessed him for it. And my route was a little different. I asked the Lord, did he want me to go to Bible school back then? But that wasn't my route. He did something different. And you know, you have to follow the path that God gives you. And he did it for a living reason. It was a good reason. See, the things he called me to do is important. And following God the way I did, I learned things that I could not learn any other way. I don't believe I could have learned what I learned unless I did exactly what God said do. And he taught me many things. And a lot of it was, I didn't realize how the condition of the church, the Lord taught me, he told me what the condition of the church was. And the biggest problem is people don't follow him. And if you ask the question, well, why? It goes back to the way God loves people. The way you love is the way you learn. It affects the way you love God affects the way you love. The way you love God affects the way you learn from him, the way you learn from others, the way you receive information. It affects the way that you process it. It affects the way that you act on it. So, and my prayer became, Lord, I want to make sure that I love you. I love you. I used to confess, I love you. I love your word. I love your people. And I love the meaning of your word. I love your wisdom. I love your ways. And all that helped me to cooperate with him. And as I learned, it's like a man that lifts weights. He's lifting weights, he's getting stronger. He keep lifting weights, he gets even stronger. And whatever he do in life, he develops good muscles for it. Well, when you receive different parts of the Word of God, it helps your whole life get stronger and stronger. You're able to process wisdom and understand it faster and better, and you're able to retain it. And the things that people say that's key, that you need, you know, things that make a difference, you're able to remember it because you received it in your heart. Your heart doesn't forget. If you receive the Word of God in your heart can keep it. Your mind may forget some things, but your heart don't. Especially if you live, if you start acting on it, it becomes part of who you are. And your sword gets sharper, your life gets sharper. And when you walk into a room, as you walk in the light, you destroy the hiding places. And people that are there that know your character, some things they won't say. Some things they won't do, even if they don't like you. They know your standards. And some people hate you and they're looking for you to fall, but you won't fall. But it's against the law for them to kill you here. But the hatred's no different. But the other thing is, if people had a chance, if it was legal to kill people you don't like, it would slowly start happening, but it would rapidly increase once it did. The same way people treated Jesus, is the same way they felt about him, is no different now than how they feel about you, even if you're related to him. If they love this world, they can be very treacherous. If you hang around them enough, they will cuss you out. Whatever they're saying behind your back will come out. And I don't, you know, the Lord deals with truth. He does. This is the way it is. This is what the Lord sees in people. This young man had he asked the Lord, what was it like when people die? And he saw a blue sky. And he saw the heart of men and women. Not their whole body, but just their heart, their spirit, man. The folks see when we die, we look like whatever we look like now. But for the sake of the purpose of the dream, that the Lord gave him, he saw a spirit form. But in the area where the heart would be, he saw seeds. And these seeds were seeds of corruption. These are things they didn't deal with. And the Lord had determined whether to let them into heaven or not. Now, we're washed in the blood. All of our sins are forgiven. But if we don't repent and we allow things in our heart that shouldn't be, then the Lord has to decide what to do with us. If our heart is hard in certain areas, it can hinder. You know, Jesus said, put it this way. Now, you know, people think the way that they think, but Jesus said this. He said, search the scriptures to make see if you're in the kingdom of God or not. I didn't quote it, but that's what he was saying. You think you have eternal life? Search the scriptures. He said also, many will come to Jesus. Many will come to Jesus. He was talking about himself, so he said me. Lord, they called him Lord. We preached in your name. We did miracles in your name. We cast out demons in your name. And he will say to them, get away from me. I never knew you. You that work iniquity. They had corruption in their heart and they would not repent. They loved the world more than they loved God. And they acted on it. They slammed people. They became dangerous. Now, the Lord don't look at the mind and he don't look at the body. He looks in at the heart. What do you love the most? What is in your heart? How did you operate? What did you do with the salvation that God gave you? Did you throw it away? Did you use it? Did you build on it? Did you walk in his way? It's not about performance. It's about what's in your heart. It's not about how many souls you won. That don't get you to heaven. It's not about how many people you heal. That don't get you to heaven. The only reason, my friend, we go to heaven is because Jesus washed away our sins and forgave us. We cannot earn salvation. But if we let evil in our heart, he said, if a man looks at a woman to lust after, that's like having fornication. That's like fornication already. Rebellion is no different than witchcraft and idolatry. Stubbornness, like idolatry. Rebellion, like witchcraft. Come on, think about it. Why would somebody do something that crazy? It's got to be in their heart first. Now, what was in Saul's heart, he acted on it. He stopped fearing God and started fearing man. He feared his enemies because he knew that he wasn't right with God. But he wouldn't repent. There are many people that's been taught by people under the influence of the very same spirit. Not a different devil, but the same devil. That was on Saul's life. David had to play music so he'll leave him alone. Same spirit. And you can still break that spirit with praise and worship. Better than that, you can just tell it to leave your life. Because you've been given full authority over all the power of the enemy. All right, now, I know it's important to follow God, so I'm asking, I said, Lord, I want to follow you all the way. I don't want any part of me to be in any form of disobedience to you. I don't want to disobey your wisdom. I want to live as wise as I possibly can. I want my body healed. I pray for my body. I protect my body with my words. I don't trust all these drugs people come up with. I even saw on the internet where most drugs, the doctor said this. He said, the drugs are designed to treat the symptoms, not to kill your body. He said, if you want to kill your body, you got to eat things. Just start eating fruits and vegetables and nuts. Let that be most of your diet. And biblically, leave alone worry, strife, because every evil work follows envy and strife. Leave the evil stuff alone. Don't eat too much fried food. I mean, that's just common sense. You're going to eat all this fried food. 90% of the stuff you eat is fried. Stuff that's processed. You're supposed to have some medical problems. Jesus gave us healing, and he also gave us good food to eat. Now, if you eat the worst foods you can find, you got to have some problems. Whatever a man sow, he reaps. And people are not going to stop eating wrong. But at least eat most of what's right. Eat a salad first. I mean, come on. It's just wisdom. And I need to live a long time. I have a daughter, and she's challenged with special needs, and I'm believing God for her healing. And then I have a work to do. And I can't do it dead. And I can't help her dead. And the Lord is steadily blessing her. I'm believing God for her the full manifestation of her recovery. Because by Jesus' stripes, she's healed. Her mind is healed. Jesus healed everybody of every single disease that a man could have. And I'm claiming that for my own daughter. Olivia, I love her. She taught herself to swim. Thank God for her. Now, but I can't do God's work dead. I'll be in heaven happy, but I want to finish the work here. So I got to take care of the temple of the Lord. But the spirit of Saul is against all that. That same spirit, that same witchcraft was against, you know, I call those kind of things witchcraft because that's all it is. The Laodicean church, what's the difference between that kind of rebellion and witchcraft? When you love the world, what's the difference? It's not much difference. Peter and John, they healed a lame man, and they said, stop speaking. The Pharisees now, same spirit of Saul, don't speak in that name anymore. The Laodicean church don't want to pray in Jesus' name. They don't want to have nothing to do with him. They want to call the shots. They don't want him to be their Lord. It's okay for him to be their Savior, as long as they get to do what they want and go to heaven. But you just can't go to heaven with evil in your spirit. You know, that's against all logic. It's not going to happen. In the dream of the young man, the Lord, some people, he saw the seeds and he just tossed them into, and they just went on into hell. And some people were those that were trying to repent and do right, they went to hell. Even now, when it came to his turn, he said everything he did, he knew that he couldn't get out of it. He knew the way he felt. Lord, please, I want to do right. Help me, and he needed to forgive his ex-girlfriend. I think that's who it was. And the Lord brought it up. You got animosity against this person. And he, you know, the Lord forgave him, and he barely made it in. And then he woke up on the couch. Watch, it's on YouTube. You can see it for yourself. But when I texted it to my son ran in the room and said, "Dad, this is what I dreamed." Same thing. He said he saw the blue sky and people just like him in that dream. But he didn't know what it meant. Now this guy, this young man, the Lord gave him the whole interpretation, and he explained it. And I thank God for it. See, when things are of God, there's going to be a witness too. Now, what we do in the Lord makes a difference. And as we go forward in Him, there's nothing on this in this earth. We make a change everywhere we go as we walk in the light. Just walking in the light. But you can't have animosity in your heart and do the perfect will of God. The love for the world won't let you complete the perfect will of God. It's going to be a nagging. It's going to be trying to drag. It's like you're dragging around 300 or 400 pounds everywhere you go. You're just not going to be able to run your race right. And even the good things you do, you're still not going to heaven because your heart's not right. I mean, that's how it is when people lose their first love. They start looking, they always go looking at the world. One scripture says, stay in the love of God. That's the only way I know. The love of God is the only thing I know that will fulfill the law. Jesus made it possible. When he saved us, he made it possible for us to completely and on purpose fulfill the law. And the more you love people, the easier it is to do it. But David stayed in the love of God. As long as he stayed in the love of God, he did works. He did what God had him do. He was a man after God's own heart. Now remember, their spirit was not brand new. That's why in one of the previous broadcasts, I didn't know what happened to Saul. I even said, I said, I don't know how God judged him. There are many factors, whether he went to hell or not. One scripture said that in those days the Lord winked at sin. Saul didn't know, he wasn't at himself. I'm not trying to make excuses for him. God judged him perfectly, I guarantee you that. I just don't know how he did it. I don't know. I know that he requires us to repent. But a man like Saul, his spirit man wasn't brand new. He was doing all the things that the good things he did it with an unrenewed spirit. Now, when we go to heaven, we'll find out what happened to him. But I know for a fact the Laodicean church is going to get spit out if she don't repent and go back to a